Hello and welcome to Gyp Connect podcast. Each episode will connect you with community workers from all over Glasgow to gain an insight in some of the amazing work happening in our communities. My name is John Aitken and I'm joined by my co-host
Sam McCann.
And we have a special guest, young host.
My name is Ewan McAnally.
Ewan McAnally is actually one of our young people who attends our youth clubs. He also won an award a couple of weeks ago, our first ever awards. So well done, Ewan, for making a change to yourself. And there'll be a wee cheers on that, I'm sure, even working in the background. So our first ever guest is someone who, if you do youth work in Glasgow, you'll probably come across somehow, probably in a charity shop. Currently working for FAIR, he has been a youth worker for many years, a very good friend and valuable partner to Gyp. You may know him as Nick Outdoors Scotland if you follow him on Instagram. It's Nick Miller, how are you, Nick?
Hello, good evening.
That's exactly how I thought you'd start this. So this is our pilot episode, this is the very first one.
That's exciting.
We've asked Nick on, so Ewan, Sam, if this goes wrong, do we blame Nick?
No.
It's his fault, isn't it? 100%.
Lucky the Irish tonight.
So, Nick, you've just finished work and joined us. Thanks very much for that. So, for all the non-youth workers that are listening, how was your day today? Here's a wee insight into our glamorous youth worker life.
My day was good. I've kind of changed role recently, so I run my own programme, Construction Aware. So, I was out of school today with some young boys for Springburn. We were at Easter House Sports Centre doing their paperwork for the Construction Aware course, and they got to play some football. But FAIR was a big hive of activity today. We've got our Christmas stuff happening, so presents getting donated, people organising food parcels and all that kind of stuff. So, aye, it was a positive day.
Brilliant. Is that a usual day for you?
Aye, usually. I only work 4 days just now, so aye, it's Tuesday to Friday. It's kind of like that.
Brilliant.
Due to that, Nick, how did life as a youth worker start for you? Was it something you've always wanted to do?
No, it was an absolute complete accident. I used to go out with this girl, and our dad did hill walking, and I went out with him and the family had like loads of little ones that we were with, and I was just carrying on and being me, and afterwards he was like, you know, you'd be a really good youth worker, and that stuck in my head for years, and then when I decided, I used to work for Foot Locker, I was a manager. And then I decided to change kind of career paths, and that wee kind of comment stuck in the back of my head, and I was like, I'm going to give this a try. And I went and did Project Scotland at the time, and they took me on as like a 6 month placement, and then I just like fell in love with it, and that's been literally been me for like 17, 18 years now.
So I actually find that's how most youth workers start, isn't it? Nobody ever sets out.
I don't want to do
totally, nobody ever sets out to be a youth worker.
Well, see, looking back at my Foot Locker days, I was actually like youth working the younger staff. And I only look at it reflecting now as a youth worker going, actually, I was youth working people back then, but didn't know what. Really, I didn't go to a youth club when I was a wee guy, so I didn't know what youth work was. I just randomly gave it a shot.
What was your childhood like? How we don't really know much about that.
It's a mystery. Not like probably like a lot of people kind of in schemes of Glasgow, like kind of poor, but didn't know we were poor. Like just yellow dinners out of the oven and like try to scrimp and scrape. My mum and dad worked like 2-3 jobs each. But we were happy, I suppose, like because we had big family for Castlemilk. So we were constantly at aunties and uncles thinking we were having sleepovers. But actually, we were there because my mum and dad were working. So we were poor, but I was like, I suppose 99% of the time happy. And like other times it's just like everyday else, like there's bad times, there's good times. When you've got money, you've not got money. And
I think that's another kind of youth worker trait, isn't it? That we all come for that kind of background.
Working class.
We were talking about that the day, about how, or yesterday maybe, how if you do, like, we do ACEs, we talk about ACEs a lot. Yeah. If you ask youth workers their ACEs score, probably through the roof for a lot of people.
And because my mum and dad worked a lot, I end up being like, I've got a brother and sister, a wee one, so I was like parenting them and youth working them and making sure they were okay, they were fed, coming up with games to keep them entertained so they weren't crying and stuff. So you feel like an early age, probably had to grow up a bit more. Like a lot of people in Glasgow, when your mum and dad are just trying to scrimp and scrape and get on, you're having to grow up quite quick.
Same story, I when I was mature for my age and then became... My brother went the opposite direction, and we ended up with a pal group that got into baller, and I ended up trying to get him into clubs and youth clubs, and he didn't want to really do it. So it's more about
you've naturally went the caring route.
It's where you grow up.
So you spoke a wee bit there about your kind of start to youth work and how you got into it. How did it look after? Was it Scotland? What did you say?
So Project Scotland, basically, you were basically a volunteer with Project Scotland, and they would pay you like £60 a week travel money or something like that. So they put you in a placement. So I was with Temple Shaft and Youth Project. It's my first placement, and then after 6 months, Project Scotland were like, right, that was great. And the Temple Shaft and were like, well, we want to keep them on. So then I was funded by the Rank Foundation. So that was, my money went up to £120 a week, which was good at the time. that was me kind of foot in the door.
And then what led you to decide to be a youth worker?
I think I was going to give it a try and go, well, if it's 6 months, it's 6 months. But I literally it just grabbed me with both hands. Like, I was there, as I say, I only got £60 a week. But I was there for like 8 in the morning to 9 at night, getting involved. And that's, I suppose, the start of my journey for outdoor stuff, because I got involved with Duke of Edinburgh Awards. We used to run kind of youth clubs for all the community, adult groups, summer holiday programs. And I just, like, from being in retail, this was like a different world. And I was just like, wow. And just seeing people who cared and loved for their community so much, that kind of got me. I just wanted to be a big part of it.
So do you think your childhood played a part in your youth work life, or influences how you work with young people now?
It does. Like, I think growing up and having to do the things I did kind of set up my kind of core values and my beliefs, and I use that every single day in my job, whether I can empathise with people who are in situations of poverty, whether it be food or internet poverty or whatever's going on in their lives. I can kind of understand that, because I can kind of sometimes see in families, my family, so it's quite nice to be able to mirror that, and if they just need a helping hand sometimes, so being able to be that person for people, it's a privilege.
If anything, what are the different youth work approaches you would take now for when you were younger?
I think the thing that I don't think I've changed my approach that much. I think confidence is growing, because when I was a young youth worker, young people are not that far different for the age that I was. So that was quite nervous of, like, who am I to tell them or give them support? I've not got a big life experience, whereas now I'm older, so I've lived a bit more. But I think my thing has always been meeting people where they are. Meeting people as humans, doesn't matter where your faith, what your skin colour is, your religious belief, the team you support, just meet people where they are. And if I'm able to help, I'll help. If I can't, I'll try and pass you on to somebody who will help. And knowing when to kind of look after yourself is a big thing I've learnt that more as an adult. So that, I suppose, my approach now is make sure my cup's full so that I can get to other people.
I think that was when I first started as a youth worker. I remember the kind of leave your troubles at the door. And
therefore,
and that's great. It's a great, but as you're saying, if you're not really feeling it, how can you give 100%?
Yeah.
And then even if you are still giving 100%, but you're not 100%,
yeah,
you're not going to be able to fulfil that. So I think that's important. I think youth workers and people, anybody working with probably young people and anybody that's a kind of vulnerable person, they need to be looking after themselves as well. Yeah. And I think we're often kind of forgot about. We just kind of got on with the job.
That's it.
Yeah.
Aye. And just to go on that, what's the most difficult part of being a youth worker?
I suppose it's the other thing is the privilege of people open their lives to you when they're in turmoil or when things are dead hard. And that's a privilege to go and try and help and support them. But seeing that, and sometimes we don't have whether it's the money, the resources, whatever it is to help that situation, the skills, and feeling a bit like you've let that person down, even though you might pass them on to something and other service, if they're struggling with money and funding and stuff like that. So sometimes it doesn't get resolved, and for me that plays on me a wee bit. Go home and go, I wonder if that family's all right this weekend, but I left on Friday. So that's the hardest bit, is nobody able to help everybody.
I think our intro to you was probably through Tony for Animalia, and it was for your expertise on hill walking and cold water dip. So what kind of brought out the love for them? Because before meeting you, I would never have been in that cold water.
Like I said, so Angie Malloy is still is to this day my youth work mentor. So she was our youth development coordinator.
That's great, Nick. Thanks. That's one of the questions. So that's that going.
So she basically molded me as a worker. Whatever you see today is because of Angela. And she, even though she doesn't like the outdoors, she has a massive understanding of the impact of outdoors and community settings and young people and all that kind of stuff. So she gave me an intro going, do you fancy trying Duke of Edinburgh and coming and doing this? So I would follow her and shadow her and learn the paperwork, take young people out, go on training courses, and just, again, I suppose like youth work, just caught the bug. And was surrounding, because when Glasgow Live had really good workers and leading all that stuff, and the courses were amazing. And again, it was all free, which was amazing. So just kept going on all this stuff and growing and developing and met people who did triathlons and wild swimming when I was only like 20, 21. So I was like, come and get a shot. Aye. Like we're camping by a walk at night time, like mum will go for a swim now. And I'm like, all right. And again, just, it was amazing. Felt amazing. So I just kept doing it.
Ewan, you've done quite a few of these cold water dips and walks and stuff. What's been the benefits for you?
Don't know, actually. Probably getting me away for stuff that has been getting me into trouble and that, so it's actually helped me a lot figuring it way Nick and that. And also like getting my confidence up as well, figuring into cold water.
You're a bit like me, you don't really like the cold water as much as the walks. So would you say that's something that has improved though, your kind of confidence with that kind of outdoorsy stuff?
Yeah.
I think a lot of that is, I think for me, as a youth worker, taking young people out there is the fear. And I think without yourself and other people that have got the kind of expertise, that is quite difficult.
Yeah.
So what would you say what is the benefits behind the cold water?
Like, I think this thing of just getting it in nature has a big thing to play. I think youth work and being in nature and the outdoors goes hand in hand. It always has. Sometimes that's dipped, especially with inner city youth work and lack of skills and funding to be able to kind of upskill your staff to be able to take young people out. And then the world we live in, a big PC world where everything's going to be super insured and risk assessments and all that. So it makes those are barriers to it. But with funding and friendships and partnerships, we can make all that stuff happen. But I think on top of your well-being stuff of getting out, challenging yourself, packing a bag to go and do it, building yourself up to face that kind of cold water dip, especially some of the locks like we've been to, you and this dark water. So that, for me, I used to be scared of dark water when I was a wee guy. So that idea of, like, this is going to be dark and cold.
No knowing what's underneath
it. And see that, what that does to your head, the endorphins it's releasing, adrenaline that's releasing is just going to make you feel good already, especially when you go in and you're like, oh, I achieved this. But the actual benefits physically as well of, like, pushing that body, your blood around your body, your lymphatic system. It's the kind of stuff that football players are starting to link
into. Cold shower in the morning.
In the morning, recovery. So if you've been, we do the walking, the dip, that recovery of like kind of pushing your body to kind of recover itself a lot better. I don't think there's a negative to it, unless you've got like an underlying health issue or something like that. I think everybody can go and get a wee shot.
Right.
And a big thing, as we say, it's just fun. We go out and we have a giggle. We don't put any, there's groups out there that take it super serious and in a really good way. And like that's how they focus on it. But I think for us, we go and we're just daft. We go and we're in a river in the summertime and just splashing each other and having a giggle, and it takes away that kind of fear a wee bit for it. So,
and to think that you and you came on your trip to Newton Moor and didn't even want to go in the water,
or
even jump off the bridge, or even come to Belfast with the water slides and stuff. You don't want to date to know that you're now going out with Nick and Tony and now going out in actual grand cold water, never mind swimming.
Yeah. I suppose that's a McAnally thing, isn't it, with the water.
Probably better than anything anyway. I've got no confidence anything.
Boston, a big thing with you and talking about his confidence is he was one of the first we did it with as a bigger group with Jip. And then when me and Tony started doing it more, we
always wanted to come back.
Not only that, but leading his pals that came along. So the boys that come with you and you, he's like, just get a try, come in, bring your stuff. And then he would go in first with me and Tony, and then that would lead to the boys going in. So that became going from being a participant to being a bit of a leader.
I trusted really him, because
that's what we did. We're the youth workers, so he trusted us, whereas his pals trusted him and then followed. So that was quite really cool.
That's good, because a lot of, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but a lot of what was happening with you and getting out of trouble was a lot of you being led. So to see you with Tony and Nick and you leading
younger,
it just shows that you can do that, and that's something you've seen a massive improvement in you and you've touched wood, not been in trouble.
That's plastic, that table.
It's plastic, that table. You're not, it's not been filmed, so you're just supposed to let me go.
You think, can you add a wood effect?
Don't know if we'll have Nick back.
I'm a one-trick pony.
If you could, Nick, what's one thing you'd change about the industry?
The way that we need to pander to funders. There's a, not only do they make you jump through hoops and the reporting sometimes ridiculous, it actually forces a whole fake industry where people make up numbers and make up lies to just to get some funding sometimes, and that's maybe not their fault because they're running a really good service, but they need to kind of skew the image on that to get funding. But just even the old schoolness of the pandering to the words that you need to use, they aren't specific to maybe schemes in Glasgow, working class workers, and if you don't write the right funding application form, you don't get the money. So it's a kind of like, not a PALS Act, but you need to be in the know, or you need to have a professional writer that can write your funding application forms for you. And I feel like with them as well, it needs to be a coming together of, come and visit. See this, sitting at behind a desk and you send an email to somebody to get funding, why you know coming into the youth clubs, why you know coming to summer programme to see the work every day, you'll feel the buzz that's going on, and then you'll be like, well, give these guys money. Cause
I think that's been the biggest thing, like in Govan for years, it was we were all competing for the same funding, and we were all working with loads of different young people, and then you were competing with projects, so then you wouldn't work with them, so then partnerships didn't exist, because you're all competing, and you need to look after your own organisation. And I think now youth workers and organisations have now said, no, do you know what? Like, we need to sit together here because otherwise we're going to... And sadly, that's worked to an extent, but there has been a lot of organisations, specifically in Govan, that don't exist anymore.
Yeah. And there used to be, with the youth banking, that for that £500 funding, it used to be the young people that would write the... paragraph, but to see what they were going to do, so it was more their words rather than
And I think that's also something that's missing with funding is ask young people where they might be funded. You're getting people that, as you say, don't come out and see what we're doing, and then they'll tell us this is what young people want to do. You're like, probably not spoke to a young person in the last week or two. Or
it needs to be a relationship. It needs to be a face-to-face intimate relationship, and it's only going to benefit. And sadly, it's starting to maybe change. And I don't know if it's just the places I've worked and hearing you guys, but a lot of times I'm just hearing people getting knocked back without a visit or without a conversation on a phone.
I would say there is a lot of good funders. I mean, the lottery for us, for example, they've been really good for us in the past 3 years for Young Start. Henry Smith were good. They came out and visited. So there has been good, and I think the council came out to us a couple of weeks ago for a holiday programme, which is good, but I mean, our boss, Kevin's been back for, I think it's 7 or 8 years, and that's the first time we had a council visit.
We had a council visit as well, it was good. But again, short and sweet. Came in, said hi, left again. Like, come and play a game of football, come and play a game of pool. And it's a shame, because I feel they miss out. I feel they miss out when actually you can read a report and go, actually, I was there for that day. I remember when I seen the Wains going on the residential.
Yep. You got any questions for Nick?
You're vegan, am I right?
I am.
What made you change?
It's a pure... People ask me this all the time, and it's a dead stupid thing. I suppose it's like a... It was a silly thing for me, because I was just ignorant to kind of food, I suppose, and just ate what was... Again, going back to my youth, I just ate what was put in front of me. So that's how I just lived my whole life. Whatever was cheap, whatever I could afford, whatever was put in front of me. I watched a film where they ate a dog... Right, so they tore this dog apart because people were starving. And I don't know whether it didn't make me feel like sick or whatever, but something about that scene opened a wee door in my head to think, actually, a dog's meat. Like, people eat, around the world, people eat dogs. That's just a thing that happens. And I was like, what do we eat in this country that's the same kind of thing that, like, oh, we eat cows and chickens? And I was like, wait a minute, that's actually disgusting. And then I did a wee bit of research and read some stuff. Because I was just going to go veggie at first. That first night, I was like, see, tomorrow I'm going to read about being vegetarian. And I woke up and I did a bit of research. And I did about the meat industry. And I was like, that's disgusting. I'm definitely going to go veggie. And I was like, wait a minute, I love eggs and milk. And I was like, I'm going to take a deep dive into them. And then after that, I was like, that. And the industries, the mass production industries, you obviously get little farms that do it proper and treat the animals nice and all that kind of stuff, but the big industry that feeds the world is horrible. They treat animals really badly. So from that point on, I just went, you know what, the next day I was like, I'm going to be vegan.
So what do you think the benefit is to you and also for other people that are listening that might want to become a vegan?
I suppose it's, for me, it's ethics. So it's not necessarily a deep dive into the health, because I'll eat still like the same mass produced stuff of like vegan burgers and sausages, and I'm a big fan of like Chinese food and salt and chili chips and all that kind of stuff. So I definitely don't do it for the health thing. But like we spoke about before we went on air, like my energy levels are always like, I work like 4 or 5 jobs. I've got more energy than some of the younger staff in my workplace. I'm in work at 7:30 in the morning. I don't get home till like 9 at night. I'm constantly got high energy, and I put that down to like loads of the wee things that I do.
Changing for like planted.
Aye, like just constantly just eating like plant-based foods, using the cold water stuff, and that balance seems to kind of make me feel good personally, my energy levels, and just like I don't wake up feeling groggy or that kind of after effect of it. I've speak to people all the time about their.
There's that quote, cold water dip thing for one cold shower a day keeps the doctor.
Keeps the doctor away. It can boost your immune system because you're constantly moving your blood about, and that's what it's all about. It's like, it's why people use ice. See, when you, like, if you got a, you banged your leg,
an ice
first thing you
pack.
Do is put an ice pack on it. I mean, it kind of just pushes that blood a bit. It's the same thing about your immune system. So,
and
I don't really get no well. I didn't get COVID. Like I'm not really one for, very occasionally I'll get a cold or something like that, but like, I'm really, generally my health's quite good. So, and I put that down to veganism as well.
So where do you, you're working with her just now. I know you've been,
I'm just back.
New faction.
I'm just, I left film, I'm back.
Right, so
back, baby.
Am I right in saying it's the is it Church House you worked for?
Aye, so I started off at the Hut Temple Shaft and Youth Project, amazing project in Knightswood. For then, we're kind of doing wee bits and bobs for Urban Fox, because they were doing some of the kayaking training I was doing. So I was kind of volunteering with them. I then got offered an opportunity at Royston Youth Action, which was amazing. So I did like 3 years of being their anti-sectarian youth worker, which was an amazing project.
Did that work for yourself?
Yes.
Yeah.
On the
end of that out, end of that out. This is not kneecap. This is no more chara.
Not a sectarian comment. I don't care what MDB.
That's
says.
My first faux pas in my podcast, and we're only one episode in, 22 minutes in. God say, I didn't realise we had DJ profile.
It's all going to be edited.
I take offence to that as an Avengers fan, so I should take that back.
We'll edit that out, don't worry.
So I worked for Royston Youth Action, and that was amazing. The people were amazing. I did loads of other training, loads of outdoor stuff. And for Royston Youth Action, nipped down to Church House, because I always follow Angie about. So Angie Malloy, worked for, she got a job in Church House. So I was there, weekend outdoor youth worker. So I kind of ran Friday night youth club, and then activities on a Saturday and a Sunday. And then I moved over to the barn. Crossroads Youth and Community Association and the Gorbals, again, such an amazing community. Gorbals is quite linked to the way that Govan is. Kind of, it's been torn down and rejigged and moved around, and people have been displaced. And
I've done a trainee programme in the Gorbals. Way to go, youth.
Oh, way to go, yep. Shout out to the
Way to Go
Cafe. Yeah,
so they Waddle have that court. Wee Waddle Court, they have that wee room at the boat, yeah, where the flats, yeah, were all there, and they done breakfast clubs and that, and you could tell it was merrier. Theirs was such a big community.
You would have been there the same time I was at the barn then, Sam. Like, that was, I remember that. Did you know Caitlin in that?
Caitlin
Marshall.
Kayleigh Marshall.
Aye.
Right. You obviously left a big impression on you then that you didn't even remember him.
No, I wasn't there.
Oh, right. So
that's a different, it's a different youth project.
Oh,
I was in the barn. And then, I don't know where I went for the barn. Oh, then I went to Fair. And became, worked in the high school for 2 years as a youth worker, which was an eye-opener, like totally different way of working, being based there full-time. It was cool, but working in a school, and as a youth worker in a school, no in a youth setting, so.
Can I imagine that's intense?
It's very intense, but like, again, just, I always feel dead privileged to do the work a day, something that doesn't like feel like work, as you know.
And you don't get credited to a lot of.
Yeah, but you don't, I suppose, they
kind of. You don't really want credit, but to be
honest.
You don't seek it.
But a lot of people think you do, a lot of people see it.
I think. You don't get credit or the probably the right wage for this, the job that we do.
People think that we try and seek it kind of.
I mean, I have this argument with my wife all the time. She'll run out at Christmas and just before the term finishes, and she'll be buying all these presents for teachers, and I'm like, you doing that for?
Yeah.
I'm like, they're doing their job.
Yeah.
I'm like, we
calm down, Roy Keane.
But it is, though, it's that thing where, well, if anybody was going to be the moody one on this podcast, it's definitely going to be me. But like, it is that thing of, like, they are just doing their job,
yeah,
and probably they are underappreciated as well. But I just think we,
but they're well paid for it, and yeah, they get amazing holidays.
Aye, and we are definitely at the bottom of the barrel,
yeah,
when it comes to that, and I think that's wrong. I yeah. think we,
well, I mean, what can we do?
Yeah,
I think you're right. Sometimes it's not their fault. I think sometimes the system needs to change. Yeah. And teachers are just fitting into that system. No, I don't, because there's some rotten teachers, just like there's some rotten youth workers.
Yeah,
but there's some amazing people, and I've met loads of them.
Not everybody's going to be perfect, but
no, you can't. So you can't be perfect.
No, like, life
takes
that, doesn't it?
No, everybody's going to be.
No, Johnny. That's a difficult bar to say. We'll edit that part out. No.
Let's get ready to rumble.
So why have you kind of jumped from different organisations? Has it been just a choice? Has it been funding?
Can't stay with one place, at least.
I've
got ants in my pants. I definitely get itchy feet. Ethan, I'm trying to talk here. I definitely get itchy feet, but I get FOMO. Like, I really want to go and experience.
Ethan gets FOMO.
I want to go and experience all different things. There's so many amazing projects in Glasgow that I want to be a part of them all, and there's no enough for me to go around. A lot of the time it has been funding, and like funding not getting cut. And I've had to work two part-time jobs in youth work and youth clubs, and then I get an opportunity to do a full-time job, so then I'll move to the full-time job. So that's kind of funding and lifestyle, I suppose, and kind of being able to pay my rent and buy food for my family and whatever. But a lot of the time it's just because I get an opportunity. Like, I've done wee bits of work for Caswell Youth Complex and G20 and Maryhill as well, and they were amazing. And like, I'd go back and help them out in day sessional stuff and all that kind of thing. And I just wish there was 5 of me and I could go work everywhere, because I love it. I'm passionate. It's my passion. Youth work is my life, and I love it. And I couldn't see myself doing anything else. And I just, there's not enough for me to go around to do it.
There's another question answered. How strong is your passion for youth work?
Very strong, Sam.
I was going to say.
Very strong. If I was to punch one of the punch bag machines,
over the phone machine.
So far, how long have you been doing youth work for?
Since I was like 20. So 20. I'm 30, so like 17, 18 years.
Right, so roughly the same kind of time as myself then. Yep. What do you think your impact has been so far, if you could gauge that by any...
I don't know, like, I'm no one for, like, legacy or...
No, but have you any highlights?
I've got millions of highlights for daffy things of being a part of, like, young people's lives, when it's, especially in the barn, when it was the first time they cracked an egg, or the first time they peeled an onion and chopped an onion. Like, I love that kind of... this. I always love simple work. Like, that's why I like the outdoors, going to walk, going to swim, having a dip.
Because there's no money involved
I feel like it's the purest, the kind of work. So, like, that cooking with people... Food brings folk together, and that giving somebody that opportunity and teaching them how to do that, and then producing a meal and eating it together is pretty special. And there's been loads of times where I've supported people to turn their lives around when they're really in a dark place and life's not gone too good, and they maybe don't want to be here anymore, to watching them kind of grow and thrive and now have jobs and colleges and have families and children and all that kind of stuff. And that's quite a special wee journey. And I'm maybe only a wee part of that, but I still can maybe keep in touch with them and get to see it and go back. I was part of that journey, and that's quite a nice
that comes
feeling.
Through back to when you were younger, when your brothers and that's just
able
like
to help. I think there's definitely some things in my childhood when there wasn't anybody to help, yeah, and we were struggling. I helped me or my mum, and my mum would be crying and all that kind of stuff and whatever, and then I'd be like, I wish somebody would come and help us. And now, as an adult, I get to kind of be that person sometimes for people.
Yeah, any highlights this year? What's been your best thing you've done so far this year?
I suppose, I don't know, I've got loads of constant supports that I do. I left FAIR for a long period of 3 weeks there, but that was really good, because I was trying to challenge myself and do something different, put myself outside my comfort zone. And I went and worked with the Simon community. That was maybe just wasn't kind of didn't tick the boxes that I wanted that youth work did. So I came back to FAIR, and then this new project's been amazing. Like, giving young people the opportunity to kind of go and see like multi-billion-pound construction companies and get a wee insight into it potentially to go and have jobs. So yeah, again, it's something different I've not really done before. Quite exciting.
Obviously, working close with you, and don't know if this would be kind of your thing, mate, like to become a youth worker or no, but Nick, if you've got advice, what advice would you give a young person looking to become a youth worker?
Take every single opportunity. Like, I remember I did a yes conference and I went with two, there was two guys that held it and they basically just, they were yes men. They were trying to tell you, say yes to everything. Mm. Obviously there's negative things down the road, drugs, alcohol, like antisocial behaviour. Don't say yes to those things, right? But see, when somebody offers you training, whether it be radio broadcasting training, whether it be circus skills, take it. See, even if you don't think you would like it, go and try it. Take every opportunity. Somebody offers you a session for free, can you come and volunteer with us? We're going to be doing this fun day. Go and do it. Give your support, because you don't know what opportunities are going to open up for that experience. So try everything, is what I would say.
Ewan, let's give you a wee plug. What's been happening with you in the last couple of years?
Well, the past 2 years I've been out with the young man's and causing trouble and getting myself into trouble, like getting lifted, getting like the jail and that. Which I thought about when I got lifted one day, and I was like, it's not the thing you want to do. And being in, like, through the court systems and that, and then after all that, I thought about it, like, going back to Jip and asking yous for help, and which has helped me a lot, so, and now that I've took myself away for that, got myself into a construction training course and that, so, which is probably guaranteed an interview at the end of the work placement, so, which, aye, so it's changed me a lot, aye.
Good for you, yeah. I mean, probably speaking for the four youth workers on the table, that's exactly
why we
do our job. Just, I mean, really, you made the changes. We can, me, Nick, Sam, Ethan, Kevin, Tony, we can advise you, but you need to take that advice on and go and actually make the changes, and you've done that. You've done that on your own as well, so you deserve a big amount of credit for that.
As I've said like so many times, if it wasn't for you, I would probably kept kicking about with them ones, and probably been still kicking about with them. No, I had a chance to go and get a something like this with a construction course and that. So.
And you're now looking to do your CIS care as well to go into a labour.
Aye, so I've got my test next week, so I've been studying for that.
Hopefully in the next episode we are announcing that you've passed that test. A wee update, we'll give you the listeners a wee update.
Full-time, part-time job.
What's been your JIP highlight as the time you've been part of JIP?
Probably getting to get the chances to go on residentials and that, like getting the chance to go to Belfast like two times, and then the other residentials, like the first residential we went on was good because it was like all water stuff and that, like sports things and that, and then the Belfast is like something to do with St. Teddy's and that, so I like that as well. So like all that stuff, and then something to like getting out the house and that, and getting like to work with young ones and that, so which I found actually.
And you racked up a few volunteers this year as well, Wes, and one were very first, is it the Lennon Clark
Special Recognition Award.
So well done. Big year for you, so well done, mate. Well done. Nick,
I'm butting 2 seconds.
Yep.
That's also another big, Belfast was a massive highlight of my year. I was going to say it before Ewan said it there. but it beat me to it. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. I've been twice now, I think. Absolutely amazing. A really good residential.
Good.
Definitely see young people changing for the good. I love a residential.
Well, if there's any funders out there, we are looking for money for that residential. So if yous are listening, give us a wee email. is there anything that you would say restricts? What's the biggest thing you think that's like a barrier for youth workers? Male youth workers is what I really mean, because I think when I started, there was almost a stigma attached to some of us being youth workers. Do you think that's kind of gone now, or do you still think there's that?
There definitely has been a stigma, and I've spoke to other guys. I've never really felt it, as in people judging me. My pals used to make a joke, like, you colour in all day with Wayne's, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I don't know if it's certain circumstances that... obviously, you need to child protection and safeguarding. So like, that kind of stuff and policies, it's always been part of kind of where I've worked anyway. So that kind of making sure that you're not in a room yourself, and especially that came out a big thing when I was in schools. That was a big difference because teachers are left in rooms themselves with young people, whereas then they expect that of youth workers. And I was like, that can't happen. It needs to be 2 years in here and that kind of thing. But I've not really experienced it, and so I don't think it's changed for me personally over the years. Hopefully society's been a bit more open. There's definitely more males getting into kind of like nursery work. And being kind of nursery practitioners, which is definitely a good thing. Because I think having male role models in all these industries is can only be good.
Yeah, because it's different, isn't it? Because when I've came up now, you and me, Finn obviously being a wee bit fingered, it's no been a thing where, oh, look, it's a guy in you, fuck, it's me now. Yeah. There's some Sam for Jip or
I just asked that question because I remember every training I used to go on,
it was always,
I'd be the only guy, or there'd be maybe one or two more, and I always felt like,
why is there no,
I always doubted myself. I'm kind of my own biggest critic, and I always thought, am I
in the right job?
Am I meant to do this? Is this wrong? Like, and then you start kind of doubting whether you're doing the right thing. And then thankfully, I've stuck at it for long enough.
And you're amazing at it.
Oh, thanks, mate.
And you've been in jail.
I wasn't fishing, honestly.
You were fishing a wee bit.
I was fishing a wee bit. Because
I was going to.
Put that rod away.
I was going to. Fuck up a wee bit. I was going to say something to fuck up, but I don't like to lose him too much.
Go on, no. We'll edit it out if you really want.
Let the love flow.
I was just going to say, obviously, if you're talking about who's been your thing when you're fucking, I've always said, and John obviously knows it, I never wanted to become a you fucker. I never thought I would ever do it or I would become it. I knew I was more mature at my age and I helped people, but I didn't really about the actual getting to the job. And then even when the full time position came up at Jip, I wasn't even really wanting to go for it until John was the one that kept thinking me. And I always said if I took it for anybody, and I knew in Jip it was always be John that was the one that made me go for it.
I think you need that. I mean, Kevin was a youth worker, who's your boss. He was a youth worker when I was a young person.
Yeah.
And just that, like,
somebody above you,
time. See, just that time that they gave him, Gina, people like Jazz, they always just gave you time.
Yep.
And I always thought that was important, because back then adults would be like, right, adults are talking, you're away in your room. Mm. They would actually sit and talk to you for 10, 15 minutes, give you time, just time.
Yeah.
And I remember, I was, in fact, just talking about this today, how when I remember doing a Tuesday club and sitting and having a conversation and some plot line had come up in EastEnders or something, and the lassies were talking about it and we were getting a discussion about it, and I remember going, oh god, I've no went over and ref that game of football. I remember going out to my boss the next day and being like, listen, before anybody says I was sitting talking and blah blah blah, and he was like, what do you mean you were doing youth work?
Yeah, I did a joke.
And it was that kind of day. I was only young, I was only maybe 20 or whatever, and that was that day that I goes, right, okay, there's more to this. It's not as complicated and as structured as it
people think.
As you remember.
I think that's due to your person. I think sometimes, like I said earlier, you don't think this is a job, but I think it's because we are good at our jobs. But it's like, I've got friends who couldn't do this. They don't have the patience, the empathy, the care.
They just lost it if they've done it.
And they do have the want to do it. Whereas for us to walk in, I think having confidence in what youth work is gives you that ability, especially when you're older, that you go, actually, we don't need to do the workshop. If we all just we're just sitting chatting, it's flowing, that's what the today is going to be. Doesn't need to be that we're going to work our way through this Padlet that we've got and whatever. It's just like,
I think when you always see nothing at all, even when like you were younger at the time, before you came to work up, when you're at like summer programs, not, and you always seen somebody older and you've seen what they kind of got today, like they would like ref the game or they would like be there to support you, or that was kind of somebody that like told you like, oh, there's a snack, or it was like that person that was like a teacher. It wasn't a teacher as such though, because there was never any work getting done or you were getting moaned. It was just that there was somebody like a role model type above that kind of wanted you to go in with your life.
I think that's when you mentioned Belfast earlier. We've been 5 residentials this year, and I think they are the best pieces of work for that, because especially at night time you do have time where you're just all sitting and you're chatting and. Yeah. We've got to know our young people so well. Like, I think without them, our impact with the young people we're working with probably isn't as big.
Yeah.
Because it's that one-on-one intense, you're with each other the full time, you're all encouraging each other. Like, I think I stood up the top of a kind of small cliff to jump into water for about 20 minutes. Everybody's no losing their argument. They're like, no, no, come on, you can do it, you can do it.
And you ended up doing it.
Everybody encourages you. And I think that's the times when you realise you've got a really good group.
Yeah.
And young people are, they're so...
harsh on themselves.
Negative on themselves. Yeah. They are their own biggest critics, as I've said about myself. They are, but they just need that one voice to say, no, come on, come on. And I think that's what our positive role models are good at.
Yep. Especially, obviously, Nick, you're always at our caravan trip. Have you seen the young people at the caravan where they had a place where they could go and enjoy themselves and then come back and didn't have like a sleep time, or they didn't have something set on them that were like, oh, you need to be up at 8 o'clock in the morning and you've got school and that? It was more that they could just go away for a wee weekend with all their pals and enjoy themselves. And it was brilliant.
Yeah, we've had such a diverse... 5 residentials, so the first one would have been the sailing trip that I wasn't on. Well, in fact, none of us were on this.
No.
Ewan, in fact, sorry, Ewan. Aye, how was the sailing trip?
It's class.
Well, if anybody's listening and thinking, God, 5 days in a boat.
Don't do it. I'm seasick.
I couldn't think of it.
At first, I didn't really want to do it, and then I went on it and I found it. It's class. It's a good experience. Good.
And you ended up holding you're in the wheelchair thing with for the
How was that?
That was good as well.
Community payback.
Aye.
No community service, sorry. Community payback is part of the Ocean Youth Trust.
That was good. But the sailing trip was class.
And you were allowed to put your phones away, is that right?
Aye.
Somebody decided to keep the phone.
And where was yours?
In my bag.
was it under your pillow by any chance? Good man. Good dad.
Where did you sail? Where did you sail?
I can't actually remember. We sailed for Oban to, I can't remember the first bit we went to, and then
Was it Tobermory?
We went to Tobermory the second day. I think it was the second day.
So what did you gain for it? So if you're talking, if a young person's listening going, with a sailing trip, how would you sell it to them? What would you say was the best part?
For me, probably building my confidence and gaining to work with other people in it, teamwork in it, and then probably being away for the house in it. That was probably the big bit.
Ethan?
I'm not saying that was good.
That's a bonus. Ethan's not got a mic to answer back, so this is, we're taking the opportunity.
Well, I'm looking forward, I'm putting myself forward to go next time if we can.
Well, you go next time?
Go. I wanted to go, but I was away.
I'd love to go again, man.
I'm still not sure.
So you're up for wanting to go back again?
But I think it was me, and I think it was Jack or something. We said we would buy a day for longer.
Try and get you on a tall ship. The tall ships do a thing where you can get young people and you go on for 5 days and sail over the island and whatever. It's like a big old pirate ship. It's amazing. Actually, I've done that.
Is that the Camus one?
No. It's a tall ship. Trust is the same thing. But I went down to Liverpool, I think, and we went through Liverpool to Northern Ireland and then back up to Scotland. It's amazing. Like, as I say, I'm seasick, so I don't like it, but if you're looking for a bit of progression, that could be something.
That could be the next part to look at.
No, for me. Give me a canoe.
So, Nick, we're going to try this wee section. This is our last question.
Oh, for God's sake.
So, you're going to launch this wee bit of content, and if people that are commenting on this say it's a lot of rubbish, then we'll take it out. But we're going to trial it on you, right? And it's a wee bit cheesy. But if you were to make a... I've actually stole it from another podcast, but I hope they'll not be listening.
Getting copyrighted.
They'll not be listening. We'll not be listening. So, if you were to make a Mount Rushmore of the youth workers you've worked with over the years, who would be on your Mount Rushmore? And you can include yourself if you want to.
Definitely would not. How many is on Mount Rushmore?
Four. I think it's four.
Four. So...
And we go go fourth, three.
They're all just faces on the mountain. That's all right.
I may go a wee bit of rank.
Oh, you want me? You want me?
I want a wee bit.
You want a fight?
Yeah, I want a wee bit. Yeah.
Right, okay, well, let's go the way.
I've got three straight away, man. I'm trying to think of both.
Let's go the way Sam says it, then we'll cause a wee bit.
No, he's just pretty silly. He just went three and there's only the fourth as well.
What we'll do then is rank them and we'll tag them on Twitter Instagram.
And then we'll just and say your next.
Get me cancelled.
What are we going?
Okay, I don't know if I vote for, but I'm just saying people. Like, I've worked with amazing people, but people who, like, I work with a lot of people who are the same as me, but people who are like I've looked up to and went, wow.
Right, well,
I won't do the judge ring. I won't do the 1-3. I'll think of my fourth one, but.
Right, don't need that.
On my list is definitely John Aitken. Right?
No,
it is. And no, just because you're here. If you weren't here and this was a different podcast, I'd still say it. Right, so definitely, like, I've learned fourth. From. Was it those seven? I put on seven. Nine. Sorry.
I'm eighth of seven.
I can't do it now because I need to edit all that. Kevin Martin, who is a community worker, youth worker, who used to work for FAIR, knew what runs Easter House Sports Centre. Just a guy, again.
At Stepford?
No, it's just up the road, just Stepford. But just gives his heart and his soul to his communities for Easter House, and I love it. His passion's amazing. Birds of a feather. I feel like we're all cut for the same kind of cloth. And then
Billie Eilish.
And then obviously Angela Malloy, who without I would probably wouldn't be a youth worker. I'd be back selling shoes if it wasn't for Angie, which has been amazing. I think I'm going to leave a heed blank.
You're not going to put a.
I don't. I can't
need
put a fourth.
You need to pick a fourth. Come on.
I can't. I don't have people that I'm like. These are like up there. That's my three. I've got three that came in my heat straight.
Well, anyway, I just want to all let you know, Tony, if you're listening. Nick said earlier, but see, he was Tony, your pal, right? But
Tony's one of my best pals, right? And I love him with all my heart. Tony came into youth work industry as like a sports development guy, so he came in to run all your sports stuff. And found a wee passion for youth work.
You're no good at your fuck, is basically saying.
No, but me and Tony have just been on the same, we're just the same people. Yeah, we're just learning but together. I've been with Tony for many, many years now.
It might be the heating in here, right enough, but I'm blushing. I'm not having me on that.
Well, you don't get to decide, it's my Mount Rushmore. I'll stick with day three.
Right, okay. So, Nick, thanks very much, mate. And Tony, if you're listening,
baby, that was only a joke, Tony.
If you're listening, Sam's just like
to that. Tony, I've got your back.
There we go. Yoon's number one.
Yoon actually said, "Oh, fair." He thought Tony was here the day, and Nick says,
"Nick for Wish."
Is that Nick for Wish? So, you can take that out with Tony. Or, in fact, get Jamie McGowan down there. That's what he did. Nick, thanks very much, mate, for being a guest.
Thank you very much,
Yoon. Well done, mate.
Thank you.
Took a lot to come on here and talk rubbish with. So
it's a pleasure to have you.
Good man. Aye, pleasure. And Ethan in the background, thanks very much, mate, for sitting there and listening to us talk.
You're more quite Jamie for Joe Rogan, but we'll keep you a bit.
Wow. We'll get there.
Damn.
Jamie's got a better quiff, hasn't he?
Much better quiff.
Aye, that's just.
He's just.
Jamie's got a four heat, not a five heat.
He's just tipped my bottle laughing.
Absolutely wrecked the scene.
This has been the first episode of our Gyp Connect podcast. The name might change, but it's a work in progress. Thanks very much for listening.
We'll see you next month.
Love you, bye.